Grizzly Bear with Slow Life there on Active. It's 17 past 8 this morning. Jenny Condy, a former top candidate and spokesperson for tax in the 2017 election, a mother of two. Condy has a PhD in accounting and entrepreneurship, worked at Treasury and taught at both the University of Victoria and Massey University, and now is the first woman to enter the race for Wellington Mayor. Welcome to the studio.
Thank you very much. Nice to be here, Maggie.
It's lovely to get to know you as well, because it's the elections are coming up very shortly.
They are. 6 weeks until voting closes. Only 3 weeks until voting opens. So, yeah, you know, it is coming up fast.
What's your advice for people who are a bit slow to the enrolment stage?
You can still vote, even if you haven't enrolled. You just need to put together a special ballot. And there will be places around the city that you can do that, including, as I understand it, the railway station and probably some of the libraries around the city. They're trying to make it as easy as possible for people to get in and vote. And you should, because especially young people, we know that the turnout is not good with young people in local elections. Mm. And, you know, these issues that we care about, if we really do care about climate change and climate action and affordable housing, those are things that the city council have a lot of influence over. So these votes are even more important sometimes than your vote in the national election.
The vast majority of New Zealanders do give the local elections a miss. Nationwide in 2016, the turnout was a miserable 42%. How will you use your campaign to target those that don't turn out, and who is missing out on casting their vote, and what issues do you have with that current system?
Well, I'm spending a lot of time on social media and Twitter and Facebook, because I think obviously that's where young people, you know, are spending their time, and not so young people like my age. I'm 40, so it's, I think, just going to where people are and having conversations with them there, and hopefully having conversations about the things that really matter to them, and showing them how that links to what's happening at the local council level. Because a lot of people, I think, just don't understand what the local government does, what their powers are.
You have said that you want to future-proof Wellington for your children. You've got two children. How would you use your moderate right voice? That's kind of how you've been labelled, to do that. And where is Wellington failing to do that right now?
Well, I think we have to take a lot more radical action on climate change. And that means reducing our emissions, particularly around transport. In Wellington, our biggest chunk of emissions is road transport emissions. So that's where we can do our bit. And we also need to be getting ready for sea level rise, because no matter what we do about emissions now, we're going to have some sea level rise. And so we need to start getting prepared and making long-term plans. That's a long-term issue, but we need to make long-term plans for how we're going to respond to that.
And when you're talking about sea level rise, I'm sure there's a specific stat that sticks out for you right there.
Sure. By 2100, the UN estimates up to 1 metre of sea level rise. But there are also many scientists who feel that that estimate might be too conservative. The top end that I've seen in terms of unlikely but possible is around 3 metres of sea level rise by 2100. So that's something that we need to start planning for and think about how we're gonna respond to that.
How old will your kids be then?
My kids in 2100 can feel like science fiction. It used to feel that way to me. But my kids will be 88 and 85. So now that's made it really much more concrete for me that the decisions that we make are going to impact on people who are alive today.
Are you confident that the Get Wellington Moving strategy is ambitious enough as far as reducing emissions target goes?
No, it definitely isn't. And to be fair, that wasn't part of their remit. They were given terms of reference that were purely about reducing congestion. But we need to be looking at transport emissions and reducing transport emissions. And the goals for reducing car trips into the city under the current Let's Get Wellington Moving plan are not ambitious enough. Cars are great. Cars are amazing for people who really need them for accessibility. I think we need to start thinking of cars more like a mobility aid, like a wheelchair. Some people really need them, and if you really need them, they're great. But for those of us who don't need to be in a car, then we need to have genuine options for doing something else, which means effective public transport. It means being able to walk or cycle or scoot so that we have other ways of getting around.
The bus system has failed, and we can no longer just say that it's the Greater Wellington Regional Council's problem. What do you believe the issues are with our transport network now, and how will you as a mayor act as a change agent to support transport for Wellingtonians every day?
Sure. I mean, everybody agrees we need to fix the buses. The reality is that the Wellington City Council doesn't have a lot of powers there as the mayor, but the one thing that the city does have is the roads. All right, so the regional council runs the buses, they own the buses, they run the timetables, they do all of that. But those buses run on city streets, and that is the domain of the Wellington City Council. So if we're talking about trying to roll out more bus priority lanes, that's something that's entirely up to the city council. And that's the one thing as mayor that a mayor actually can do to do our bit to improve the bus system in Wellington. And I also think, you know, making promises, Justin this morning came out making promises about increasing driver pay or reducing fares, like he just doesn't have the power. The mayor does not have the power to do those things. And I would really like to give a newly elected regional council the chance to fix the buses. I think everybody, we've got all these great candidates who are running on this issue. Everybody knows it's a problem. We need to give them a chance to get on with it as well and not just butt in. So that's really my thing, is I think we need to give the new regional councillors a chance to fix it and do our part as Wellington City, which is more bus priority lanes.
Who are those new councillors on the horizon that you think have promise with the greater Wellington Regional Council?
Sure, there's a couple of people that I've met. I see Phil Quinn on Twitter a lot, who's standing on Fix the Buses. I've met Victoria Rhodes Carlin, who is, I think, 22, who is standing for Greater Wellington Regional Council. She's very impressive. So there are very good candidates. Roger Blakely, who is currently a councillor, who I think has been one of the few that's been really upfront about the issues and trying to fix them. So there are genuinely good people who are standing for that role.
Something that we are quite focused on in Wellington is improving venues, and specifically Wellington's been losing venues consistently due to earthquake strengthening and current venues facing noise complaints and issues when renewing liquor licences as well. How will the city keep its creative capital title, and will you support live music venues in the city that are struggling to provide an active nightlife?
Yeah, the nighttime economy is a really important part of Wellington, and I used to live in Te Aro. I was a student at Victoria, so I love that part of the city and the nightlife. And I always felt like, you know, we live just across from what's now San Fran. And, you know, yes, it was noisy. It was a live music venue. There were often concerts at night. But we chose to live on Cuba Street. And we chose that knowing that it was going to be noisy. So I think, you know, we have to balance these things out. And the nightlife of Wellington is incredibly important. So we need to support those venues to be able to continue with those creative connections. And we shouldn't discount the, as I say, the impact that has on our kind of social cohesion and the creativity in the capital, but also the impact that has on businesses in the capital. You know, the nighttime economy is really important for hospitality businesses. And that creativity is what gives Wellington kind of its innovation and a sense of where it's an interesting place to be a startup or start a new business. And that's really important if we want to have, you know, another Zero or another Weta starting up in Wellington. We actually need to maintain that creative capital that we have.
Shelley Bay, what are your views on Shelley Bay? This is an issue that consistently comes up on the Breakfast Show, a lot of calls and questions about Shelley Bay.
Sure. I'm really concerned to hear city councillors say that they feel they were given wrong information or incorrect information before they voted on something. There needs to be an independent review of that, because if councillors were given incorrect information, then I think for just as a matter of good governance, whether you agree with Shelley Bay or disagree with Shelley Bay, as a matter of good governance, that decision should be taken again with the correct information. So I think that's a really important part of it. And then the other thing is, of course, at the moment it's out for resource consent at the moment. So the consent is being reconsidered after the Court of Appeal decision. So that makes it tricky for everyone, because we're not really allowed to comment on it because it's an independent process. So that's really complicated as well. But I do have a lot of concerns around the sale of the land, and whether the sale of the land was, you know, entirely legit from the iwi. And that's a concern. It's not something that the Wellington City Council can get involved with, but it is something that we need to be concerned about, because I think Shelley Bay is certainly on track to becoming Wellington's very own Ihumātau.
Are you comfortable with the Soviet-style apartments that are planned to be built? And do you think that those nestle in well with the kind of policies that council has about new buildings fitting in with their environment. To me, they don't look that good.
They're pretty ugly. they're pretty ugly. But I think we have to remember that the designs that have come out so far are preliminary. So they're not going to, they look very boxy at the moment. I imagine they're going to look a lot nicer once we have more advanced design. I hope so. I think, you know, I don't have a problem with mid-rise apartments and they're going up to six stories. More generally, I think that's a great thing. We need more mid-rise apartments in Wellington. Whether Shelley Bay is the best place for that to be done, given that it's relatively remote, and the infrastructure that would be required to support that, you know, I have some questions about that. But as I say, that it's really out for resource consent at the moment, so...
We won't find out until after the election happens.
I know, it's really hard.
Yeah, it's almost perfectly timed.
And I think I'm sure that everybody's finding that frustrating because, you know, we literally legally cannot talk too much about it because it's out for independent review.
Insurance premiums have quadrupled in Wellington. What is your strategy, and do you believe the task force chaired by the Mayor Justin Lester with a panel of experts is the best way to collect information about the effect the price hikes are having on Wellington?
I think we need to get more information about what the effect is on people. I think we know it's happening. There's no doubt that prices are astronomical, and there's certainly rumours that certain buildings don't actually have earthquake cover anymore because they simply can't afford it. So we need to get a better handle on that. But I think that the long-term solution to insurance premiums is going to be tackling risk and hazards. I don't subscribe to the view that the insurance companies are screwing Wellingtonians over here. I think that they're actually responding to genuine risk profile that is happening in Wellington. We genuinely have a much better understanding of the risks of liquefaction since the Christchurch earthquake. We have a much better understanding of the risks of precast concrete floors since the Kaikoura earthquake. And we've got sea level rise and storm surge on the horizon as well. So these are genuine risks that are increasing and that the insurance companies are desperately trying to get us to respond to. If we want insurance premiums to stay down, we need to stop building in the riskiest parts of our country. That's the reality of this. So we need to be making really careful decisions about where we build. And if property owners want to build in those places, I'm not going to stop them. They have a right to do that, but they need to be aware of the risk that they're taking on and the fact that you know, that they might have significantly higher insurance premiums, or eventually some of the sea level rise places will simply become uninsurable at some point.
Housing for young people. Wellington is reaching a crisis point in the city. I think the word crisis is always a bit detrimental, but that's simply the label that's been given. TradeMe data shows the capital is the most expensive city to rent in New Zealand, and with prices rising, people are being forced to find alternative housing solutions. How will we be able to grow exponentially and still obtain that strong student population that attends our universities with a label that's detrimental?
Yeah, we have to be building more high-rise or mid-rise apartment complexes and row housing, anything that increases the density in the city centre, but also in our suburban centres around Johnsonville and Karori and Kilburnie, Newtown. We have to be building up so that we are getting more housing capacity closer to where people need to live. And Wellingtonians have been really clear they don't want more greenfields development way out past Johnsonville. They want us to have more compact urban form, and that includes in our suburbs as well. And that is one of the things that's going to start bringing down prices, is as we actually introduce more housing into the market. And I think that the City Council needs to get more directly involved with that. In Auckland, there's projects where the City Council's working with private developers and the central government to actually deliver housing, actually build houses. And I think that we need to be looking at more of that kind of direct intervention.
If those of you are just tuning in the car or on the live stream, I'm talking to Jenny Condy, the new Wellington mayoral candidate, this morning. Right, let's talk about housing more broadly as well. I mean, the Don Post broke this morning with a story about the housing crisis. A well-known economist said, unless there's something done to increase the supply of rental properties, Wellington will lose its quality of life advantage over other cities. But do you think we've already lost that advantage?
I think we've certainly lost some of it. I think our rents are so high, you could hardly argue that we haven't lost some of that advantage. I think at this point, our goal should be making sure it doesn't get worse, and how do we start to gain some of that back again. And the answer to that is that we need more rentable housing. Mm. And the market is not delivering rentable housing. And so we need to be doing more as a city council to make sure that that gets that kind of housing is being built and delivered for Wellington renters.
So you believe in inclusionary zoning as well? You're wanting to do that?
I think we need to have more zoning so that we can go higher in parts of the city, whether that means four stories or six stories in different parts of the city. If you're near a train station out in the northern suburbs, or you're near a transport hub, a bus stop in the centre of the city, then we should be able to build higher near those places, because that will increase our housing affordability, and it reduces our emissions because people are more able to take public transport when we build denser housing near transport hubs.
If people want to engage with your campaign, where do they go? You said, you touched on earlier that you're quite heavy on social media.
Sure. So I'm on Facebook and Twitter. Both of my pages there are Dr. Jenny Condi, which is DrJennyCondi. And I've also got a website that's up, which is Condi for Council, CONDIE for Council.
And if people want to engage with you on some of these issues and ask their own questions that maybe I haven't touched on today, can they come and meet you?
Oh, absolutely.
Do you have set up talks that you're doing?
There's so many mayoral events that are happening around the city and Meet Your Councillor events. So I'm going to be at pretty much every one of those. I've got almost something every night in September at this point. So it'd be great to check out what's happening in your local area and go and find out that. And I'm happy to meet, to have a chat on Facebook if you want to, or Twitter if you have questions, and always happy to go out for a cup of coffee.
All right, thank you so much. Lovely to have you on board.
Thanks so much, Maggie.
And good luck.
Cheers.